when I was quite young, there were people that used to tease me because of my accent and my background. They used to call me a freshie, and that really affected my self-esteem and confidence, and it made me feel like I didn't belong here. But over time, I kind of realized that having these differences isn't a bad thing, and I'm also as valuable as anyone else.
Our next guest is a young woman originally from Nigeria who moved to the UK when she was very young to pursue a better education and access career opportunities. Stella wanted to become a psychologist, and she studied art to reach her goal, despite all the obstacles she had to face in terms of bureaucracy and peer pressure. The reason why we wanted to share her story is because she represents a younger generation that wants to make a change and give back to the community and to the people that helped and support her during her journey. Stella is also connected with another woman that we have interviewed, Marian Spears, program manager at DOS Center. When Stella was only a teenager, DOS Center helped her connect with the community and with other young migrants in London. Stella is now one of the youngest trustees for the center, and she's looking forward to helping young migrants and refugees using her experience to support them. Welcome to another episode of When Power Podcast. We are here today with Stella Ogulande. She is a migrant woman, and she would like to share her experience and her story with us. Hello, Stella. How are you?
Hello, hi. I'm good. Thank you.
So, Stella, tell me just a little bit more about yourself, and what does it mean for you to be a migrant woman?
So I came to the UK at the age of 11. So I was born in Nigeria, and I came with my dad, and my sisters and my mom were already in the UK. So when I arrived, it was all new. It was very cold because Nigeria is quite hot. And I was really excited because the main reason why my parents decided to take us to the UK was for education. And so I was really looking forward to that. And then a year later, my dad left my mum, and so he left us and decided to go back to Nigeria and start his own family. And so it was just me, my mum, and my sister. And my mum struggled financially to look after us, and she was really affected by it. So her mental health was really affected due to the breakup. And so I felt like the reason why my dad left was because he wanted a son, and this was mentioned to me by my mom, and it made me feel like I wasn't valued or loved, and this is kind of like the tradition in Nigeria where the father wants to have a son so that they can pass on their surname and their legacy. And so having a father figure has been really difficult, and it's really affected my relationship with people. But after my dad left, my mom struggled to pay the rent for the house, and our visa expired at that time, and so we couldn't go back home because we had no one else back in Nigeria apart from my dad, but he wasn't with us anymore. And so we were in the UK for a while without having a right to remain, a leave to remain. And so it took my mom quite a while to decide to apply for it. And when she did, the process took quite long. And there was a point where we became homeless, and we had to stay at my mom's place for quite a while. And then we got help from the social service because we literally have nowhere to stay. And we were put in a temporary accommodation. And this was when I had my GCSE, and it was quite hectic because I didn't have any of my stuff with me, and we were consistently moving around. So there wasn't a place that I could call my home. So I managed to do pretty well on my exam, and the social service was able to find us a place, a permanent accommodation to stay, but it's still not our place. Like, it could be taken away from us anytime. So there's been positives to coming to the UK, I've been able to be exposed to new things. I've learned a lot about different cultures because I live in London, and London's quite multicultural. So I've seen people from different backgrounds, and main reason why we came here, like I mentioned, was because of education, and I've been able to progress to university and study psychology, which is a subject I'm really passionate about, and it's a career that I want to go into. And there have been negative experiences as well. So I've experienced racism, and there have been people, when I was quite young, there was people that used to tease me because of my accent and my background. They used to call me a freshie, and that really affected my self-esteem and confidence, and it made me feel like I didn't belong here. But over time, I kind of realized that having these differences isn't a bad thing, and I'm also as valuable as anyone else. And so, like, with times and with joining organizations such as DAST and taking part in sports and just getting out of my comfort zone, I've been able to work on my confidence and improve my self-esteem over time.
Thank you very much for sharing this with us. I mean, I believe it was not easy for you growing up as a young woman in this situation, and I believe that you show quite a strong resilience, and the fact that you could achieve your goal, which was the education and the possibility to pursue a degree in the subject that you wanted to study. I think it's really, really, really great. In your opinion, what are the strengths, and how did you overcome all the obstacles that you mentioned before you had to face when you came here to the UK? Mm-hmm. And also, how did the figure of your mom as well support mm-hmm. you or help you in this process?
So how I was able to overcome some of the obstacles was just by reaching out to people. So my mom was like, had friends who was also in the same position as her, and she was able to have conversations with them about what charities and organizations are out there to support people who are struggling with throughout their immigration and who are homeless. So my mom kind of gave me advice on some of the charities I can approach, so such as DAST, and also with uni advice, I got involved in an organization called Inter University, and they were able to help me prepare for interviews that I had for a scholarship program. So just to give you a background story, I couldn't receive student loan because of my immigration status, because I hadn't been in the UK lawfully for 3 years. So it meant that I would have to wait for an additional 2 years until I can study at uni. And so I had to find other means to fund for my education. And because most scholarships only provide for one aspect, so it only provided for either the tuition fee or the living cost, there weren't enough. And so I just kept doing my research and kept speaking to my teachers about it, and also speaking to other organizations to see if they knew about any scholarship programs. And then I ended up coming across the Sanctuary Scholarship at the University of Bristol. And I started to prepare for the interview, and I got help from people from my mentors who was from Inter University. And by reaching out and by speaking to people about my situation, I was able to find another way to go to university with a full scholarship. So I think that is one of the ways I've been able to overcome some obstacles in my life. So just being open and asking for help, and just finding the right organization that can support you. And my mom has been very, very supportive throughout the whole process. She's always been there for me. She's always been pushing me, telling me, keep going, no matter what happens, there will always be a way. and she's my biggest motivator. She's always there, and even though she's dealt with our own issues in the past, she's still with us till this day. She hasn't abandoned us, and she's just someone that I look up to, and I'm really, and she's someone that I really want to impress, someone that I wanted to be proud of me. So this is something that has been motivating me throughout, to want to keep going and keep working hard.
Thank you for this. You mentioned you decided to study psychology because this is mm-hmm. something you really like. Why this decision, and where do you see yourself in the future with your career?
I was really passionate about science in primary school, and my teacher said to me that he saw me becoming a doctor because I really enjoyed helping people, and I loved biology mostly, and so that really stuck to me. And so when I got into A levels, I decided to do biology, physical education, and psychology. And I realized that in psychology, you don't just have the biological aspects, but you also learn about philosophy, political and cognitive factors, which was very fascinating, and it allowed you to have a broad ideas of some of the key concepts. And so I became really interested in psychology, and I wanted to really understand myself and also understand the outside world. And so this is why I decided to study it further in university. And by doing so, I was able to apply my learning in working as a healthcare assistant for a mental health service, where I worked with patients who had various mental health needs. And as soon as I started working there, I knew straight away that this was the field that I wanted to be in. And I knew that this was the career that I'm going to keep aiming for. And so I recently graduated last year with an integrated master's in psychology. And it's been very difficult trying to find a job, especially during this pandemic, and especially the fact that this psychology is a very competitive field. It takes a lot of resilience in order for you to keep going. And so this year in January, I did an interview, and they got back to me saying that I got a role as an assistant psychologist. And I'm really excited to start working, and it's going to be in an eating disorder service. And after my future goal, after getting enough work experience, is to eventually do a clinical psychology doctorate and to hopefully qualify as a clinical psychologist. And I'm really passionate about helping people, and this is why I really wanted to go into this field. And I just find it really interesting.
I definitely can feel it. The people that are listening to us will not see the video, but your mm-hmm. face just brighten up when you start talking about your studies. So I can really see that this is what you're passionate about. So you mentioned before the DOST Center, that was one of the associations you reached out to when you were a teenager. We had the pleasure to interview as well Marian, which is the center manager for the DOST Center, and for the people that are following us and then they haven't watched the interview yet with Marianne, DOS Center is helping young refugees and migrants in London, specifically with sport activities, support with English, and psychological support. And it's giving them a place where they can just feel safe and feel part of the community. Recently, you became a trustee of DOST. So just tell me a little bit more about this.
So I first heard about DOST from my mom, and she had found out about it from a friend of hers. And I got involved in the center at the age of 15, 16, and I was there for 2 years. At the start, I was quite shy and reserved, and I struggled to, interact with people there. But over time, I started to get involved with some of the activities and the residential trips, and I really enjoyed them, and I was able to form great memories with some of the activities that we were doing. There was one time when I went to a boat trip and I ended up falling in the lake and I couldn't swim, and at the time it was so embarrassing. But thinking back at it, it was such a funny and laughable moment. And me and Marin always talk about it, and just it just shows how much being in the centre had such a big impact on my personal well-being. And so I decided to be a trustee because I wanted to help support the centre and also to help young people who may be experiencing psychological stress, especially coming to a new country. And it's really not easy, especially having to adapt and learn the language of the culture. And so that was one of the reasons why I decided to join the trustee, because I wanted to be a voice for the young people.
I think, I mean, it's really important as well that we should never forget who helped us in the past and find a way to, you know, give back to the community and help and support the people that supported us before. So it's really great what you're doing. One last question is if you want to give an empowering message or advice to all the people that are following our podcast today, what would be?
I would say that there will be days where you feel like you don't belong and you just want to give up on yourself, but it's okay to feel that way. And sometimes you need a break and time to yourself. And so this is why I'm such a big advocate for self-care and self-reflection. And so really helpful with allowing you to feel grounded and to understand yourself better. And so don't feel trapped, but ensure that you don't feel trapped in this stage. And in this stage where you feel like you can't move on, you need to get up and keep going and take each obstacles as a learning opportunities where you can improve on yourself and grow each day. Also take education seriously, and don't feel pressure to do things in order to fit the norm. And it's okay to be different, and embrace every aspect of yourself, as there is no one like you. And it's also okay to not know who you want to be or where you want to be in the next 5-10 years, as not everyone knows, and we're taking each day slowly. And always remember that it's never about the destination, but about the journey that you take to get there. And so this is something that I want to share with the girls and women in your, like, reading your magazine.
Thank you very much, Stella, for this, and thank you very much for being with us today and to share your story. And hopefully it's going to bring some inspiration to all the audience and the people that they are following us. Thank you again.
If this was your first time listening to Wempower Podcast, thank you for taking the time. Please don't forget to share, follow, or comment. You can find all the data information shared with you today on the podcast notes at wempower.co and in the podcast description. A special thank you to all my colleagues, because without them, Wempower wouldn't exist. Anna Sukol and Monocat Production, Andres Gutierrez and AG Creative Content, Amina Sofia Almagrabi, our Italian correspondent, and all the freelance journalists that contributed with their stories. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting Wempower. We will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring, and positive stories of ordinary women. Find us on Podbean and Spotify as Wempower Podcast. Subscribe to our newsletter on wempower.co to keep up to date with all the future projects. Follow us on social media at Wempower UK. Do you want to be part of the change and share your story with us? And do you want to be part of our next podcast episode? Contact us at info@wempower.co. Don't forget that together we empower women. My name is Ilaria Biancacci for Wempower Podcast. Until next time.